How thrilling it is to know that we can sing about heaven. You know, heaven is a wonderful, wonderful place, and God is making preparation for you and for me even as we speak. The thought of going to heaven is something that should intrigue each and every one of us. And the Bible talks about the fact that you and I are on a marathon. You and I are running a race every day. It is a race against time, but it is a race toward heaven. It is a race to the land that God says, of which there is no tear, no sorrow, no heartache, no death, no pain. Think about how majestic and how wonderful such a place will really be. In the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7 and following, the Bible begins to unfold for us the fact that you and I are on a race and that we are to run for the finish line. And if we're going to reach that finish line, then we're going to have to run that race according to God. I hope this morning that you'll turn in your Bibles, unless you'd like to read it off the screen this morning. But in the book of Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 7, the Apostle Paul says, and you may be reading from a little bit different translation, "But what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made comfortable unto his death. And if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, as not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after that which I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing," he says, "I do, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth unto the things that are before, I press forward for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything else you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us mind the same thing." And then he says, "Brethren, be followers of me together." You and I are on a race. I want to share with you this morning a number of things. I want to talk about seven things that I really believe that we can do that will ensure the fact that we reach our finish line, our goal. But I want to tell you that there are some goals, I think, that Paul mentions here in this particular text. There are Christian goals, I think, that every one of us ought to aspire to. He mentions four of them specifically. Number one, it is that we may know Christ intimately. You know, a lot of us know about Jesus. A lot of people have heard about Christ. A lot of people read the Bible and kind of make a casual perusal through the Scripture. But as far as really knowing Christ, very few really do. So number one, we need to know Christ intimately. For in verse 10, he says, "My goal is to know him." To know him. To know Christ. The Bible says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He is the way, he is the truth and the life, and no man comes to him but by the Father, or through to the Father, except through Jesus. But then secondly, there is another goal, I think, that we all ought to aspire to, and that is to experience the resurrection power. When I think of Jesus, I understand not only that he was the Son of God, not only that he sacrificed his life, as some have prayed this morning, but the fact that he was raised from the dead, the resurrection power. And throughout the gospel, Paul talks about the resurrection. In the book of 1 Corinthians 15, he not only talks about the resurrection of Christ, but he talks about our resurrection. "When this mortal shall have put on immortality and then shall be brought to pass, that saying that death is swallowed up in victory." We need to know the power of his resurrection. And then thirdly, there needs to be that goal that says, "I'm willing to die to self." Do you know there are very few people in this world who are willing to die to self? Many people want to live for self. Many people are interested in pursuing their own goals and not the goal of Christ. But Jesus said, if a man would come after me, let him deny himself and let him take up his cross and follow me. Self-denial has always been and is always today a very difficult thing for us to do. It is, you know, many of us in life decide that we want to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, and how we want to do it, instead of really relinquishing the reins to Christ and saying, God, you take control of my life. I want to live like you want me to live. So he says to die to self. For in verse 10, he gives these words, and the fellowship of his suffering and being conformed to his death. That's a worthy goal, isn't it? It is. You know, I've often thought that if you don't have goals in life, you just go anywhere. The game of life is much like a football game. And if there were no goalposts, people would just be running all over the field, not knowing where to go. And there are some people that are just that adrift on the sea of life today. They're out on the field. They don't know what their goals are. They'll never ever really accomplish anything in life. They'll never ever get to heaven because they don't know what the goal is. Well, the goal is to know Christ intimately, to know the resurrection power, to die to self. And then number four, our goal should be to persevere unto the end. You know, there are a lot of people in life who start the race, but few finish it. Up at the Boston Marathon, a lot of people start every year, and you know, they televise that, and people all get all geared up for it, and they work out, and you know, they think they're finally ready, and they start out running, but before they reach the end of the race, they give up, they quit, they acquiesce. And you know what? The Bible says that heaven is the finish line. And when Christ died upon the cross, you will remember him saying these words on the cross. It is finished. What he's saying, I have come to the end of the human race. I have come. I have won. And Paul, even in those last moments of his waking hours here upon this earth, would write to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Beginning in verse 8, he would say through verse 10, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. What are you talking about, Paul? The course, the race. He said, I finished it. I didn't give up along the way. But he said, I finished the course. You know, I've met a lot of strange people in my lifetime. You probably have too. Well, someone said, I met the strangest man the other day. He said he believes the Bible and that it is the Word of God, but he never ever reads it. He said that the church would be more effective in its ministries if more of the members would be really dedicated, but he isn't dedicated. He said that he feels that the church assemblies are times for edification and for praise, but he never ever attends. He said, being strange that he is, that the younger generation needs to have stronger spiritual values, but he does not exemplify them in his own life. He said that the church is not doing the work of the Lord and that the work that God intended for us to do, but he's not working. He said that he believes that God hears and answers prayer, but he never ever prays. He said he believed that we ought to reach that finish line and run the race, but he never got in the race. He said that he knows the Lord is coming again, but he lives as though the Lord will never ever come again. We must persevere unto the end. For he says, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. Verse 11. Now, let me share with you quickly the seven keys, what I really believe are keys to reaching the finish line. What are they? You know, what can I do? How can I know that I will reach the finish line? Well, I would tell you, first of all, that we need to know where we are. You need to know where you are. Notice what Paul says in verse 12. He says, not that I have already attained or reached the goal or am already fully mature. Paul says, I would tell you right up front. He says, I've not reached the goal. I'm not where I really want to be. But he said, I'm striving to get there. He says, I have these goals in my mind of where I really want to be and how I'm going to get there. And he says, the first thing that we need to know is to know where we are. Let me ask you a question this morning. Where are you? Are you even in the race? Have you ever started the race? And when you get to the end of the way, will you really sail across the finish line with the accolades of heaven? Will you really? Or is your race taking you in the wrong direction? You know, a lot of people get misguided, and a lot of people in our world today are running the wrong race. They're running for the wrong things. They're running in the wrong direction. They're kind of like Jonah in the Old Testament when God told him to go down to the land of Nineveh and preach the gospel unto those people that were lost. And Jonah decides that he's going to get in the race, but he's going to go the opposite direction. And so he gets on a boat headed down to Tarshish. And the Bible says that he gets on that boat and he tries to get as far away from Nineveh as he possibly can. And so this ship is going to take him down to Tarshish, which is 500 miles away from Nineveh. And God had told him to go to Nineveh. God says that we have to get in the race, but we don't get in the race. We decide to go the opposite way. We're not interested. So we need to know where we are. You cannot embark until you know where you are. And Paul in verse 13 says, "Brethren, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it." Haven't arrived, haven't made it yet, but I'm in the race. And then secondly, we need to know where it begins. Where does the race begin? You know, a lot of people today say, well, it begins the moment that I believe in Jesus Christ. And I'm sitting in my automobile and maybe some preacher comes on the radio and I hear the fact that a person must believe in God. And so I say, well, this is where the race starts. I have to believe in God. Or I'm sitting in my home watching a televangelist on television. And he says, hey, the way you begin the race is by believing in God. And once you believe in God, that's where the race starts. I'm here to tell you this morning, that's not where the race starts. It is not where the race ends. But the Bible does tell us that we must believe in God. I certainly do not deny that this morning. But we need to know where the race begins. And it begins when a person has been immersed in Christ. He has been baptized for the remission of sins. God puts you in the race. That's how you get in the race. When a person is baptized for the remission of his sins, he now is ready to begin the race that leads toward heaven. Let me read a passage for you found over in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Paul, beginning in verse 1, says, "Wherefore, seeing that we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down even now at the right hand of the throne of God." Notice what Paul says. He says that we are in that race, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Know where to begin, but know where you are. And then there's a way that I really believe you reach the finish line triumphantly. And that is that you simplify your life. Simplify your life. Notice what Paul again says in verse 13, "But this one thing I do." You know, many of us go through life chasing rabbits. I mean, we're running here, we're running there, we're running all the way over here and back and to and fro and all these things. And we're not really focused in on the most important thing in the world. And that is simplifying our life that we may honor God. Notice again what he said in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. He says, "I have to lay aside the weights." You know, most runners, if they're going to run in a marathon, a lot of times will strap on weights. And they will practice with those weights. But when the big day comes for them to run the race, they will take off the weight and then they will start running. And that's what Paul says. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience." He says, "This one thing I do." You know what? You could simplify your life this morning by saying, "You know what? There's one thing that I need to accomplish. And if I can accomplish that one thing in my life, then I will have been the winner." Paul says, "I am focusing all my energies on this one thing." Again, back to the Hebrew letter chapter 12 and verse 1. "Lay aside every weight and the sin." You know, a lot of people try to run the race to heaven with the burden of sin on their back. They are unwilling to give up the sin. They want to hold on to the sin. They want to play in the sin. They want to glorify sin and yet at the same time glorify Jesus. And it cannot happen. In the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter, Jesus said, he said, no man can serve two masters. You'll either love one and hate the other, or you'll hate one and then you'll cling to the other. He says, man cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. We must simplify our life. Give up those things that are weighting us down. The sin that, he says, that does so easily beset us. It will take you off the track. It will take you out of the race. And you will lose eventually. And you may be thinking right now that I'm running for the right thing. I'm running toward the right goal. But are you? Are you? Are you running toward heaven? Let me ask you another question. What's more important to you this morning? Is it getting to heaven? Is it really? Is that the most important thing in your life? If it isn't, you're focused on the wrong thing. When you marry someone, you should marry someone that's going to help you get to heaven. Not someone that's going to provide you a big automobile or a fine home or fine clothes, but someone that will help you get to heaven. That's why the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked together with the unbeliever. You marry someone that is going to help take you to heaven more than anything else. Simplify your life. And you know what? When you make a commitment unto God, you don't always have to go through life asking yourself the question, now, what is my goal? You know what? You're focused on it. Paul, there was no question about it. Paul knew where he was going, how he was going to get there. But there's another thing, another key, I think, to reaching the finish line. And that is forgetting the past. How many of you live in the past? How many of y'all can remember the good old days? How many of you can remember anything? How many of you remember the good old days? Anybody remember the good old days? Thank you, George. Who else? Anybody remember the good old days? I can remember the good old days. That was last week. Now, we all remember the what we call the good old days, but at that particular point in time, we referred to them as these trying times. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. A few generations later, people will look back, if they're still alive, and say, oh, I remember the good old days. But you know what? Sometimes when we look back on what we call the good old days, we will remember that there was adversity along the way as well. There were hurdles that had to be jumped in order for us to win the race. You know what? That's the way life is, and it's full of hurdles. And one of the big hurdles that we have to get beyond, and one of the keys to reaching the finish line, is forgetting the past. And many of us dwell on the past. Paul says in verse 13, forgetting what is behind. The Philip translation says, I leave the past behind. That is, it's gone. It's moot. It's over. Sometimes people are haunted by the past, past guilt. They're haunted by past sin. And they wonder whether or not God can really forgive them. And sometimes people are haunted by the past, not by their failures, but by their success or by their achievement. For they are resting on their laurels. They talk about what all they have done in the past and what I have done in the past. It's not where you have been, folks, but the race is there, and it means where you are going. It is not what has occurred in the past, how many victories you won then, but where are you going now? And that's what Paul is saying here. You know, if anybody had a right to glory in anything, it was the Apostle Paul. Paul could talk about all the great things that he did. Listen, Paul was the greatest evangelist that ever lived. He preached more gospel, I believe, than any of the disciples ever dreamed about preaching. He accomplished more in his life for the cause of Jesus Christ than anyone that I have ever known or will ever know. And if anyone ever had the right to take glory in himself, it was Paul. But Paul said, I die daily. And he said in the book of Hebrews 9:27 that I buffet my body daily and I bring it into subjection unto Christ, lest after I have preached to many others, I myself should be a castaway. We ought to be people that really get excited about serving God. We ought to be people that are thrilled to be in the race. And it is a race. And as I said, in many ways, it is a game. Out on a field. We all ought to be excited about it. I heard about a little boy one time who was, he watched television all the time. He always watched football games. And he knew all the calls that were made, by the referees and all those kinds of things. He knew what it was. If the umpire did anything at all, gesture on the field, he knew exactly what it was. Well, he was sitting in church one Sunday morning. He was about 5 years old, and the preacher got real excited, and the preacher raised his hands and gestured, and the kid said, "Touchdown!" Well, you know what? You and I, if we're going to make a touchdown and we're going to really win the race, we've got to get in the race, and we've got to forget the past. Sometimes all of us, nostalgically thinking, look and long for what we call the good old days that will never, ever come again, but better days are yet to come. They are. One of the keys, I think, to reaching the finish line is to lean forward. Strain for what lies ahead, Paul says in verse 13. Have you ever seen runners, when they get ready to launch themselves in the race, how they get down? I mean, they hunker down and they are ready. They are ready to come off that finish line. And you know what? If we're not ready to get off the finish line, or rather the starting line, we will be left behind. We will. When they start the race, they get up there on that line and they lean forward. Phillips' translation said, "With hands outstretched to whatever lies ahead, I go straight for the goal." You know why they can cross the goal leaning back? Many of them cross that line just like that. You know why they do that? It's because they started right and they ran right. Lean forward. You know what? One of the great commands of God in the Old Testament came through Moses. When the children of Israel have been set free from Egyptian bondage and the Red Sea is before them and the Egyptian army is behind them and Pharaoh is pursuing, they're standing there wondering about the intelligentsia of God. I mean, what in the world? Why did God lead us up here to the Red Sea and the army of Pharaoh is behind us? You know what Moses did? Moses, by the will of God, said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." He stretched his rod across the sea, and he gave the command to the children of Israel to move forward. And when he did, and when they started moving, and they took that first step, the Bible says that the water began to part, and it did. And they walked over on dry ground. We must lean forward. Move forward. Don't look back. One of the worst mistakes I think a football player can make in a game is looking back. You ever seen them sometimes how they do that? They catch that ball, the receiver goes out, he catches the ball, he's running down the field, and he starts looking back, and it slows him down. Don't look back. Paul says, forget the things that are behind and reach forth under the things that are before. And then number six, one of the great keys is to give maximum effort. For in verse 12, he says, "I make every effort." Verse 14, "I pursue as my goal." And then verse 12 and 14, he says, "I press on." Press on. Maximum effort. Serve God. You know, a lot of people in the church never really give a maximum effort to serve God. They just kind of want to play at Christianity. Give your best. God doesn't say you have to be the best, but he said give your best to him. And then that literally means to pursue aggressively. You know, I appreciate people that really give their best at whatever they're doing. I don't care what it is. I can have a greater appreciation for people who give their best and fail than for people who do not give their best and perhaps succeed in their lack of effort by chance or perhaps luck. Maximum effort. And then number seven, and last of all, is to keep your eyes on the prize. On the prize. Heaven. I mean, that's where we want to go, isn't it? Isn't that really where we want to go? I'm going to tell you why I want to go there, because I know someday that when I die, that everything that I own will be left right here. Everything. So whatever I might be doing in some kind of futile attempt to be happy, there is no happiness apart from God. Keep your eyes on the prize. Verse 14, Paul says, with my eyes fixed on the goal, I push or I press on to secure the prize of God's heavenward call in Christ Jesus. Keep your eye on the prize. Press on literally means to bear down on the goal marker. And then verses 20 and 21, Paul says, but there's far more to life for us. For we're citizens of high heaven. We're waiting on the arrival of the Savior, Paul says, the Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly body into the glorious body like his own. And he'll make us beautiful and whole. And how wonderful and how thrilling that day will be. You know, the victory day really is the day when we stand before God and we hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have finished the course. And you know what? Paul knew, and at the end of every race, there was always the crown. And if you go back to what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you will notice when he says that I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. He would say, and there is the crown of righteousness which is laid up for me, and not only to me, but for all of them who love his appearing. And that's the victory that you and I can have through Christ. Finishing. Solomon said a number of years ago that it is not the beginning of a thing that really is important, but he said it's the ending of a thing. Better is the ending of a thing than the beginning thereof. Perhaps maybe this morning it would be good for anyone to ask themselves the question, am I running the right race? And where will I be when I get to the finish line? Someone wrote a poem entitled, Is This the Right Road Home? Is this the right road home, O Lord? The clouds are dark and still. The stony path is hard to tread. Each step brings some fresh ill. I thought the way would brighter grow, and that the sun with warmth would glow, and joy songs from hearts would flow. But is this the right road home? Yes, child, this very path I trod. The clouds were dark for me, and the stony paths were sharp and hard. Not sight, but faith could see that at the end, the sun shines bright forever where there is no night, and glad hearts rest from earth's fierce flight. Yes, this is the right road home. And I'm going to tell you this morning, my friend, that the right road home begins with God. And it ends there. You came from God. That's where you had your beginning. And you will eventually go back to him, either as a winner or a loser. And whether you cross the finish line victorious through faith in Christ and an obedient heart is a choice that you must make. And this morning, you're confronted with that choice again. Every Sunday, we offer you a choice to either serve Jesus, serve the world. Christ offers you that choice every day. And whether you go to heaven, well, that's based upon the choice that you make. I hope this morning that you'll choose to follow Jesus. And I hope if you hadn't got in the race this morning, you've not become a Christian, I hope you get in the race. Because I'm going to tell you something. God helps you get over the hurdles. You know what? When you're running on the wrong track, you'll have hurdles there too. But a lot of them you'll never cross because no one's there to help you. Christ is always on the right track, and he always helps us over those hurdles, and he's willing to help you this morning. If you believe in him this morning as God's Son and there is no reservation about your faith in Him, would you allow your faith to cause you to lay the weights aside, now it's time to do it, and give up the sin that can so easily beset you, and start running that race that leads to heaven? And if you've been unfaithful to God, and you've been carrying the weight of sin around too long, would you turn to God and allow Him to lift it? Peter said to cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. And we invite you this morning to come by humble obedience to His will to be baptized and birthed into the kingdom of God. And God will put you in the race. The question is, do you want the race? While we stand and while we sing.